Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight, we have the Terry Francona versus Alex Cora debate. Which one would you take if, in a perfect world, you could pick one? If you like Cora, he's your guy, he stays. If you would love to see Tito come back, then this is a fun debate. This was actually broadcast on our YouTube channel. However, I did make a cameo appearance myself. So I am in this video with Alex and Luke. I took the Francona side of the debate. Luke took his side with the Cora angle. And then, of course, Derek was hosting and weighing in throughout the video. So, going to play it for you right here. We hope you enjoy it. We'll probably be back later in the week with the regular crew. So, again, here you go. The Cora versus Francona debate.
Hello and welcome to the Bastards of Boston Baseball YouTube channel. My name is Derek and I'm here alongside Luke. And we got a special guest in Terry from the regular podcast, which you guys can check out after you watch this. Make sure you watch this first. Today we will be arguing over who is the better manager for the Red Sox. Is it Terry Francona or is it Alex Cora? Francona managed the Red Sox for 8 years, 2 World Series, had a 744 and 552 record. Alex Cora has only managed for 3 years so far. 1 World Series, 284 and 202 record. So I'll throw it over to Terry first. I know you're on the Francona side of this argument, so what's your take?
We've seen Francona with the Red Sox in a relatively big sample size, and we've seen him, his impact on another organization in roughly a similar sample size. And the theme is the same. Players love playing for him. They absolutely love playing for Terry Francona. 2004 made history, down 3-0 in the ALCS, came back to win 4 straight. It's never been done since. It might never be done again, or it might be done like once in the next 100 years, but I'm fully convinced no other person could have been managing under those circumstances, under that pressure, especially after a devastating Game 7 loss in 2003 and still pulled it out the way Francona did. Just the way he influences his players is something that we just, I don't know if we've seen it in quite some time, and at least a few decades. And then people forget 2007,
We were down 3-1 against the Cleveland Indians. Very similar to 2004. Guess what? Came back and won the series. Both World Series with the Red Sox. Francona was undefeated, 8-0 in 2004-2007. And if you go back to his entire 8-year run, his worst season with the Red Sox, 86 wins. If the second game wildcard had existed during his entire tenure, he only would have missed the playoffs in 2006. Go back to that 2010 team. Everybody was injured. Pedroia out most of the season. Veritek out at least half the season. Ellsbury was out pretty much the whole season. They were putting guys like Bill Hall, Darnell McDonald, Jeremy Hermida, if you remember that name, 89 wins. 89 wins with that cast of characters. Josh Beckett missed quite a bit of time with a back injury. I'm a Francona guy. I like Cora. I like Alex Cora. I consider him to be a top, no worse than 3 or 4 manager and presently in MLB, but give me Francona every time.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's hard to argue against the two. I mean, you know, I'm going to stay in the middle of this one. I think I lean a little bit more towards Cora, which I know that's definitely where Luke stands. So I'll throw it over to Luke for the Cora side of the argument. But, you know, so obviously great points by Terry. Luke, you have any things to work off of that?
I like Cora better. I think Alex Cora is undoubtedly, in my mind anyway, the best manager the Red Sox ever had. I wrote this in more depth on my blog, bleacherbrawls.com. Check it out. I'll put the Cora article at the top of the site after we record this. I think of Alex Cora as more like a head coach than a manager. Francona was a really good coach. You know, like Terry said, he's a player's coach. All the players loved him, you know, because he had their back all the time. You know, he kept them happy. He kept them confident. He kept them sure of their spots. He was loyal. He was loyal to a fault, you know, in a lot of cases. And I don't think many people would argue with me on that one. Alex Cora attacks the game really a lot more than Francona did. Francona was about preparation, you know, as far as practice and, you know, keeping players fresh and stuff like that. Cora manages the game on a fundamental level so much better than Francona ever did. You know, Cora's a player's manager too. He backs his players up, but he'll call them out when needed. You know, he called out Rafi Devers in his rookie year. You know, Rafi's got to be playing better. He didn't give Garrett Richards any of his, he didn't give Garrett Richards any outs when he started screwing the pooch because he couldn't use spider tack anymore. You know, he has cash with the players, not just because he backs them up, because they know that he knows what he's doing. You know, Nick Pivetta took him out with a no-hitter back early in the year when he was their most consistent starter. He took him out of a game with 2 outs in the 5th inning and a 3-run lead, you know, and Pivetta was fine with it. A lot of managers would be scared to death to try anything like that with their most reliable pitcher at the time. Cora's communication, the way his communication with his players meets his preparation for the game. Look at the game one. Look at the Eduardo Nunez's pinch hit home run off of Alex Wood in game one of the World Series in 2018. You know, Nunez said, Cora called him ahead of time, said, hey, late in the game, they're going to go to Alex Wood. You're going to bet, you're going to pinch hit against him and be ready for that. Nunez knew exactly what he was supposed to do, when he was supposed to do it. And he hit what ended up being the game winning home run, or the home run that put the game out of reach. You know, I saw something, Christian Arroyo's grand slam in Atlanta this year that ended up winning the game last year. That had that written all over it. AJ Minter came in, the lefty. Arroyo came up to hit in the pitcher spot. I have a feeling he knew where he was going to be hitting the whole time, and he just came up and did it. The way Cora recognizes the pitch tipping, all the players talk about that, and he filters that information down to the team. All of his lineups make sense, and I'll go over in a bit about Terry Francona's lineups and how a lot of those he made some really terrible mistakes there. He's steady. He's composed on the mic. He's always backing his players up. So he is a player's manager too, but he's so much more than that. He is like, you know, he's Terry Francona and Bill Belichick all rolled into one, in my opinion. you know, look at the 2018 team. That was a great team, but they had no setup guys. The eighth inning was a disaster all year long. And Alex Cora just, you know, it was really brilliant, but it was so simple at the same time. It's amazing nobody with a short bullpen ever tried that in the playoffs before. Take your starting pitcher from two games before and throw him for an inning in the eighth. Work like a charm. You know, erase that eighth inning gaping hole that had plagued the Red Sox all year. He's just, he thinks out of the box, kind of like the way Chaim Bloom thinks out of the box as a general manager. And he's smarter than the manager and on the other side of the field and the other dugout every single time. And he's a smarter manager than Terry Francona ever was. Terry Francona had some great teams to play with. I mean, he was just chilling in the dugout. I gave me the impression he was just chilling in the dugout a lot of the time while he was managing. And Alex Cora is really attacking the game as a manager the way I haven't seen a manager do before.
Yeah, I do think both guys have like a kind of player management, be a player's manager. They're both a player's manager. They do it in different ways, but I think they definitely both have aspects of it. I do want to add, you know, you see, you know, both these guys have been ultra successful. So at times, you know, it's going to be hard to nitpick against either guy. So in my opinion, it's all honestly personal preference. I mean, I love how Cora does manage the game. I know the pitchers in the bullpen, starting pitchers in the bullpen, is kind of changing baseball now too, and with how big the bullpen's become. I mean, we saw it before in the big leagues, but it's never been done to the extent Cora did it. And now you see teams, the Dodgers, when they won the World Series in 2020, who got the last out? Julio Urias, that's a starting pitcher who just won 20 games this past year. So managers are starting to do some certain things that you see a guy like Cora did, and it's not that Terry Francona wasn't revolutionary in his own way, because they both were, and they both have had huge success as the Red Sox manager. And, you know, Cora played for Francona, so I guess you do kind of have a good mentor to learn from, and Cora was also bench coach under AJ Hinch. So I do want to throw it back to Terry, though. Thoughts on Francona as manager, maybe anything against Cora?
Well, I got a few more things to point out. There's one other specific situation. You mentioned Alex Cora used to play for Terry Francona. And if you remember, I think it was in either 07, 08, Cora was having one of the best seasons he's had in his career. And Francona pulled him aside and said, you know, was honest with him and says, you know, I'm glad you're having a lot of success, but you need to understand that Dustin Pedroia is the future at that position. And Cora understood it and, you know, was a mentor to Pedroia even back then. So I think that's an interesting tidbit when it comes to Francona leadership. It's interesting, though, during Francona's tenure in Boston versus Cora's tenure, Cora's managing millennials and Francona managed Generation X. You know, when Curt Schilling has a messed up ankle, he has makeshift surgery on the clubhouse table. Xander Bogaerts needs three extra days off in July because baseball makes him tired. And Cora calls these guys. And that's one of the things I don't really like so much about Cora. I think he babies them a little too much. But I do want to point out this one last thing. Francona's finest performance in the postseason, in my opinion, was not even 2004 or 2007. It was actually 2016 with the Cleveland Indians. He went into that playoff month in October with Mike Clevinger and Carlos Carrasco on the disabled list. And I think they did call it the disabled list in 2016. He got all the way to extra innings in game seven of the World Series with Corey Kluber, good guy to have, especially in 2016. But then he had Trevor Bauer, who was a flop at that point in his career, had never had that breakout moment. Had only managed to pitch 8.1 innings, 8 1/3 innings in the World Series with a 5.40 ERA. And then Josh Tomlin was the number three. He ran through that whole postseason with Kluber, Bauer, and Tomlin and nearly pulled it off against a stacked Cubs team with Joe Maddon managing them. That was the finest performance. And those guys, not all of them, some of them were millennials on that team. So He's managed a couple generations of players. And I'd like to also point out from 2004 through 2021, he's only ever had one losing season in all of those years and that was in 2021, and they won 80 games, was under 500 by one game, and he didn't even manage half the season because of his health issues. So I'm not even going to – I'm going to take a giant leap here and not just say that Terry Francona is better than Alex Cora. I'm going to sit here right now and say that Terry Francona is the best MLB manager of the 21st century so far. And that's how I feel about Terry Francona.
Yeah, I know Luke's going to have some disagreements about that. I know where Luke stands on that, but I do also want to add, because I know you brought up Cora and Pedroia. I know I've read Dustin Pedroia's book. I don't know how many people have that are watching this, but Pedroia says Cora is one of the biggest mentors to him in his career. But I also think Francona did play a huge part in that, because Cora was like hitting like 400 through the first month of the season, and Pedroia was hitting like 190. So if you don't have a manager who can lead that way and set an example for the players to continue leading, it all starts from the top down, and it goes from the top down. Leadership doesn't start in the bottom. It starts at the top and it trickles down. But I do want to throw it to Luke. I know you have thoughts. I do want to add, both managers did have incidents in their time with the Red Sox. I know Luke maybe wants to get into some of that potentially, but I'll throw it over to you, Luke. What do you have?
No, I'm not kidding. Well, yeah, I will touch on one of those at some point, but I mean, you know, just really quick on that 2016 Indians team. I mean, look back now. So he had Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer. And yeah, Josh Tomlin was the number three guy. But that's a pretty good 1-2 punch there that you're throwing out in the playoffs. I mean, it's not like they were scrubs. They weren't Kluber had already won the Cy Young that year, I think, or maybe the next year. But they were emerging stars that were, really making their name. So I just think, I mean, maybe he overachieved with that 2016 Indians team, but he didn't win. He didn't win it. He got to game seven, but he didn't close the deal. And really, when did he close the deal? He closed the deal in 2 years with two teams who are probably two of the greatest teams to ever play Major League Baseball. In 2004 and 2007. So, I mean, yeah, like I said before, I think Francona is just a guy who was managing kind of, you know, like Barry Switzer, like, you know, just kind of stay out of the way. Don't say anything too stupid. And, you know, you'll do well. The player's manager thing, I feel like, is what everyone rides on with him. But, I mean, he's a loyal guy. All the players love him. But like I said before, that loyalty tends to go too far. Like with Kevin Millar, how long was he batting fifth, you know, after that 2004 season? Way longer than he should have been, when his performance had really gone downhill, and he kept putting him out there in the number five spot in the lineup when he should have been hitting seventh or eighth or ninth. He even said in a press conference once, you know, when a reporter asked about why Millar's still in the middle of the lineup despite his performance, he actually said, well, there's other things to be considered other than on-field performance. That tells me a lot about his mindset right there. And of course, everyone remembers the David Ortiz incident, bursting into the press conference, screaming, dropping F-bombs, because Dustin Pedroia played a joke on him and told him that the scorekeeper took an RBI off the board for him. And, you know, that's the kind of toxicity that can happen when all the guys just think, Terry's going to have your back. Tito will be fine with it. You know, it's okay. You know, he didn't command, it doesn't seem like he commanded a lot of respect. They liked him because he wasn't hard on him, but I think the inmates were kind of running the asylum there. Look at all the stuff Manny pulled while he was there too. His lineups used to make me pull my hair out. And I know there's a lot that goes into being a major league manager, but the starting lineup is the number one thing. Bill Miller won a batting title batting ninth. And people say a lot about that, like, wow, that's really incredible. He won a batting title batting ninth. Well, what the hell was the batting champion doing batting ninth? Why wasn't he batting second and getting a lot more at bats? Because the guy who was hitting second that year was striking out 200 times a year, hitting in front of David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez, while Bill Miller was batting ninth, hitting .326 and winning the batting title. And I got to close with the biggest blemish that could ever be on Terry Francona's career, the hugest blemish, 2011, the chicken and beer stuff. talk about inmates running the asylum. That was a damn disaster. Sports Illustrated cover at the beginning of the year. Best team ever, question mark, running away with it in the first half of the year and then totally shit the bed at the end. And here's one thing that I just recalled today when I was doing this, doing the research about this. Ryan LaVarnway, remember him? Scrub catcher. The two other catchers were hurt, so he was forced in the lineup. Didn't really do much. The second to last game of the season in 2011, I'm sorry, against the Orioles, LaVarnway hit a couple of home runs, the first decent performance he's had, really. So to reward him, remember, that's the Robert Andino game, the walk-off that knocked them out of the playoffs. So the Red Sox need to win the last game of the season. Francona, off the strength of one good performance the day before, puts Ryan LaVarnway in the number five hole to hit behind David Ortiz and Adrian Gonzalez because he's short on righty impact bats. LaVarnway batting behind Gonzalez in the last game of the season that they have to win to make the playoffs. And what do the Orioles pitchers do? The thing that anybody would have done. They intentionally walked Adrian Gonzalez three times. Ryan LaVarnway went 0 for 5 in that game, grounded into a double play with guys on base, struck out with guys on base, took the bat out of his best player's hand, out of his best hitter's hand all game in a must-win game that they had to win to make the playoffs. And that's like a guy driving a train falling asleep at the wheel. That's like, I would never see Alex Cora ever doing anything like that. And that right there is such a huge blemish. And the whole 2011 collapse is such a huge blemish that I think can't be overlooked. And that's something I never forgot about Terry Francona. That's the last game he ever managed with the Red Sox. And that's the last impression that he's left in my mind, of him being the manager here.
Yeah, I mean, Francona's biggest flaw in 2011 that ultimately sank them was his continuous usage of Daniel Bard in the eighth inning before Papelbon. That's what's always stuck with me. But nonetheless, I still think he's the greatest. Just one last tidbit I forgot to mention. He had a huge payroll with Boston. Winning record after winning record. Has a tiny payroll, probably a bottom six or seven payroll in Cleveland. Still, winning record year after year. But that's it. That's all I've got. So,
yeah, I think that's kind of running a little short on time. So I think that'll pretty much happen. I do want to add, though, that 2018 team was a wagon, too. So Cora definitely still had a wagon behind him in 2018. But that should
wrap up. With no setup guys. He took a revolutionary idea to close out those games against the Yankees and the Astros and the Dodgers, 300 win teams, I believe.
I'm not saying he didn't, but, but we are running a little short on time. So I think that's going to wrap it up. Make sure to check Terry and the other guys out on the podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, share this video. We're trying to grow. And for Luke and Terry, I'm Derek, and we'll see you next time.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water